Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the roof.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Inside the HananiahAutos.com studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist is on assignment in Cincinnati tonight. We'll get him on the phone line coming up. Phone lines will be open a little later, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Maybe we'll get some inside info about the Week 9 opponent in Cincinnati from Pete.
Yeah, Tony. We have plenty of time to talk about that. Prisco's a big Bengal fan. He always likes them. He'll be hot to trot for the Bengals. Mm. Hey, I'm excited, JP.
Hey, we're here.
This is going to be a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. You're new to it. Excited to have you hosting this. I'm sure you'll want to quit halfway through after dealing with Pete and I.
What, halfway through when? Tonight?
Or? No, I think you'll get through tonight. Probably sometime week two or three, you'll be like, oh, my gosh, I have to deal with these two guys. But we're excited. We got Joe Fortunato always. I got to tell you, Joe is – I like the opening. I like this tune. It's kind of getting me pumped up for the show tonight.
It's a brand-new show.
It is a brand-new show. It's exciting. Listen, a lot of exciting stuff going on, though, around the Jaguars and kicking off the preseason in the midst of camp. Week two coming up, a lot of things. All NFL games started this past weekend, so a ton of storylines and a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get to all that. Also, Paul Posluszny will join us here in studio right after the walkthrough. The Jaguars are out on the field right now going through a walkthrough around 6:45 or so. Posluszny is scheduled to join us in studio to talk about that linebacker core. Pete Prisco about to get on the phone line with us. Biggest, of course, story this week after Friday's game was the quarterback. And we knew that going in. Obviously, that Bortles was going to be the name that everybody watched. He performed well. He performed well against the twos, but he performed well, right? And that's the most important part.
Well, yeah, listen, twos, ones, whatever. I mean, you only can do what you have the opportunity to do. I know it's stating the obvious, but if you go against the twos, that's what you're going to go against, and you have to perform. And he did. Listen, he did everything you want him to do. He was 7 for 11. He had three legitimate drops. He very easily could have been 10 of 11. He had command of the game, command of the huddle. He threw the ball accurately. Yeah. You know, just overall a very good performance. But here's the reality. It's the preseason. It's game one. It's something. It's exciting because you can build on it. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves and anointing him as, the next great Hall of Fame quarterback of the NFL. I hope he is, and if he can build on what he did, that is outstanding. It's why you picked him number three, and so it's very exciting. But I'll say, just like if he would have performed average or poorly, we wouldn't be killing him today saying, oh, he's terrible, there's no hope. You know, listen, this is a process, and he's a young guy, and he's going to go through things, and there will be ups and downs. But listen, it was fun. I had a good time calling the game and watching some of the throws he made. And we'll get into that, what was special about it as we go through the show. But, boy, he made some special throws.
Well, the fact remains, though, Chad Henne is the quarterback of this football
team.
He's the starting quarterback. He said today in the locker room, Tony, that there were a few things that were good. There were a few things that were bad. But overall, it wasn't as bad as it looked to the naked eye, and it wasn't as great as some things looked, right? Is that a fair assessment for you?
Well,
at least the first team?
Well, I think he's stating the obvious, and he said, there's some good and some bad. I think that's pretty much every football.
We speak alike. Me and Chad, we're tight.
Like Captain that. Obvious is twin brother, Chad Henne and J.P. Shadrick. Yeah, listen, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. You know, they did some nice things, but there were some moments that weren't very good either, and they need to clean it up. I think offensive line interiorly needs to play better. I think there were some throws out there that Chad, thrown on time, can hit. And I think at times Chad had no chance to do anything. So, overall, good, bad, ugly, it's all out there.
Captain Obvious, Tony Baselli.
Well, I'm just following your lead, JP. You are supposed to be driving.
We're off to a rousing start.
We are. We're doing well.
Let's go.
Where's Pete?
Well, he's on the phone line now. Pete Prisco joins us from Cincinnati, right, Pete?
Yeah, and I'm not Captain Obvious at all, by the way.
No, not at all. Yeah, I can already tell you what you're going to talk about. Quarterbacks.
Hey, Tony, isn't that what drives this league? Isn't that what drives the bus?
It's an important part of it, yeah. I don't know. The two best teams in the NFL, the quarterback didn't drive the bus last year.
That's an accident. Yeah,
it's the best.
You have accident.
The best two teams in football, Pete. The best two.
It's like when Trent Dilfer won. When Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl, was he the best quarterback?
No, listen. I'm not saying. Listen, it is quarterbacks are critical. You and I agree on that. I'm just saying that you can. I do think sometimes we overstate the importance of just that one position. While it is critical, and it's very listen, you need that guy. I think if you build the entire roster with depth and talent, you got a chance to win as well.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but is it sustainable? I mean, if we had to ask the question right now, who the 10 best teams in the league are aside from the Seahawks and the 49ers, you probably look at them and say every one of them has a quarterback and a franchise quarterback that will keep sustainable for a long time.
Well, let me ask you this, Pete. You're in Cincinnati. Are the Bengals one of the best 10 teams in football?
Yeah, and they don't have a quarterback. Okay, there's an elite quarterback.
There's three of the top 10 that don't have quote-unquote elite guys.
There's only so many elite. There's only four.
Well,
elite
I know,
guys.
But okay. But
what's the definition of elite?
Well, number one and number two of the best teams in the NFL are San Francisco and Seattle. Those are the two best teams.
I don't know about San Francisco. Hold off on San Francisco this year, by the way. Let's hold off on the 49ers.
Okay, until further notice.
Well, they've had hits, and Willis is. I mean, Bowman's out, and all the
yeah. But Bowman's going to hurt. Bowman's going to hurt. You're right about that.
Yeah. I mean, they got they got Boone's holding out. I know he's a guard, but he's holding out. I mean, they have.
He'll be there
in some spots.
You know that as well as I do. When the real checks start, he'll be there.
You know what? I played out the entire season. It'll be out on CBS in a little bit, and I'll give you a little hint. I don't think the 49ers made the postseason.
How?
Wow!
Pete, you do this every year. I would love to go back, and you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna get last year's you playing out the season.
I like that.
The first time you're in studio, and we're going to go through that step by step and really see how that panned out last year.
Well, I did that in August or July, by the way.
I know,
year.
That's fine.
A little later.
I just want to go through it and see how it pans out. I mean, it's your work. Listen,
you can pick me apart all you want, Tony, because you know I'm going to pick you apart.
No, it's easy. My job's much easier in that case.
Pete Prisco is with us.
But anyways, I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be a really good football team this year.
Arizona.
Carson's not elite. There's another team, so there's four in the top 10 that are.
But Tony, there's only four guys that are elite in the NFL. What I'm talking about is a guy who can carry a team if he has to at times in the fourth quarter. And yeah, Russell Wilson did it. Can Colin Kaepernick do it without his legs? Can he do it?
Not consistently. And that's my whole point, Pete. I think there are really four guys, maybe five, because I like Roethlisberger probably more than you do, that are. Put the team on their back and carry them a long, long way. And my whole point is, in today's NFL, because there's so few of those guys, you have to build the entire roster. And you look at the last two Super Bowl winners and probably the last three of the last four teams who played in the Super Bowl, take the Broncos out because they had Peyton Manning, none of them had elite quarterbacks. And that's my whole point. You can win, and you can win championships with good quarterbacks. If you have good rosters around
them. But it's not going to be sustainable, and that's the problem with it. Look, the Ravens, they went from Super Bowl champ to out. I mean, it's not sustainable. It's sustainable if you have a quarterback. But I agree with you. You can get those aberration seasons. Like the Tennessee Titans used to have aberration seasons. They'd be 13-3 and then go back and then win and then go back and then win because it wasn't sustainable the way they played football. But you can have those seasons. But a guy like Manning, Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, you're going to have them every
year. You don't put Roethlisberger there?
Yeah, I'll put Roethlisberger there, and I'll tell you what, I'll add another one, too, because I think Andrew Luck is going to be there.
No,
too.
He is. He's a stud now. He is a flat stud.
But getting back to, and the reason you brought up quarterbacks is because you're talking about the quarterback situation in Jacksonville.
Yes.
And yes, I'm going to push again to play the kid.
You said that before the game. Pete Prisco with us. This is Jaguars Monday. You said that before the game, that you play the kid, but now you're even stronger behind that, I guess, Pete.
Even Tony will admit this. If you walked in off the sideline at the scrimmage a week ago and didn't know who was the starting quarterback, you would have left there and said it was Blake Bortles and not Chad Henne. After watching him in the preseason the other day, and you know, it wasn't great. He missed a tight end up the field. He did a couple other things that he checked out of a couple plays. But he stood in the pocket and stared down the gun barrel and made a throw. To me, that's what you want to see from a young quarterback. He also spun his head. He went from right to left and left to right, and that's what you want to see. So all you're doing, and I say it over and over again, is delaying the inevitable if the kid doesn't play. And you know what? For a while I used to say it just because he was the first-round pick, play him, and let him take his lumps. But now I'm not so sure he's not going to end up being the best guy by the time the ball kicks off on opening day.
So, Pete, right now, would you start him if you were the head coach / GM, you know, president of whatever, running the Jaguars? Would you start him right now?
If I was in the same situation that those guys are in, absolutely, because it's all about next year. It's not about this year for them. It's all about next year. And he's going to go in there, he's going to learn, he's going to take some lumps, but you ask any quarterback in the league, every single one of them, to a man, says, you can't learn standing on the sidelines. It's all well and good that you're going to, you know, get it all, soak it all in, but there's nothing, and you know this as well as anybody, there's nothing like game experience. So put him in there. And if, you know what, if his psyche is messed up over the fact that he takes a couple shots or he gets dumped, you know, 45 times, then he's not going to succeed in the NFL anyway. So I say, yes, play him. I was at Manziel's game the other day. Yes, play him in Oakland. You play Derek Carr. And, you know, you just keep playing. Play Bridgewater in Minnesota. Those other guys, they're not sustainable. You got to find out if you have that guy.
The only thing I'll disagree with you in the sense of, I like how Dave and Gus have handled the situation, because there's not been the hoopla here. There hasn't been the pressure. You know, the way they tabled this thing from the start, saying this is Chad's job, he's the starting quarterback, it's taken a lot of the attention, the media hype and all that, and the fan expectations off of Blake. Now, he's a competitor, so they're on – he's self-motivated trying to do it. But I think what the strategy so far has worked and allowed him to ease in to where he is.
I will agree with you on the way they've handled it, because they kept it off of him. But even you know this, that there's people in that building now that are starting to – this kid's coming faster than they expected him to come. And when that happens, then you eventually got to get to the point where you put him in there. You know, they won't give him the one reps yet, but those are coming. And if he plays well in the rest of the preseason and Chad does not, then I think they have to reevaluate it and stick him in there and let him start on opening day.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, if it continues, if the train stays on the same tracks of how the play is viewed and how, just from watching it and watching the tape today, it's going to be very difficult if we see the same course or the same trajectory going. It'll be a very tough and interesting decision at that time. Right now, I think they're handling it right. I think you keep Chad as a starter, let this thing play out. As you know, Pete, one preseason game, there's a lot of evaluating still to be done. Because I know we only have a short time with you, and I know you've kind of, you know, wimped out on us this week. You were afraid to come in and face me week one.
Week one, man.
I know, he's scared.
I'm going to beat Tony for you, though.
Yeah, we're doing coffee facts today in your honor, Pete. But give me your thoughts on Johnny Manziel. I watched the highlights. I didn't see the game live. I know you watched it. Impressions of what he did week one, the preseason.
Well, I like my quarterback in the pocket, and I don't like running quarterbacks. And I thought the first two series they did him an injustice. They stuck him in there and thought he was going to be like he was at Texas A&M and run that pistol read option crap. And then in the third series, they put him in the pocket. And to me, that's where he's most dangerous, because he's going to learn how to throw off the move. You know, right now it was all quick to get out of there. He made a couple nice throws. He sat in the pocket. I think he's more comfortable in the pocket than people think he is. And, you know, they have to allow him to do that. And when you go into that locker room and talk to guys, every one of those guys is impressed with him. He works at it. He's a savant, you know, when it comes to the offense. The guy's smart as hell. Yeah, he might not like the nightlife, but he sure as heck knows that book. And I think once he gets to the point where he's making progressions and doing everything the right way, I think he's going to be a good football player. I'm not going to say he's going to be a star like he was in college, but he's every bit capable of being the passer inside the pocket if they allow him to do it the right way.
Pete, the only thing I was a little not disappointed in Johnny, but everything was these short little slants, checkdowns, nothing down the field with him at all, which is what I liked about what Jed Fish did with Blake. Opened up the whole playbook. You saw the ball flying down the field and plays being made. You know, sooner or later, that's what you have to do in this league.
Absolutely, and you know they got some issues with no Josh Gordon, but again, when you talk about he's going to be out for probably 8 to 16 games, that's going to be a problem. But he'll learn to drive the football. I'll say this: I like Blake Bortles more than any of the quarterbacks coming out this year. And now, after 2 weeks and seeing these guys play, I like him even more so, better than all the rest of the guys. I think Jacksonville got the right guy there. He reminded me the other day, and I'm not going to say he's that guy, but he reminded me of Ben Roethlisberger a little bit the other night. And that's high praise in my book, and obviously it's high praise in yours if I'm saying that. One quick note, by the way,
yeah.
I am at Bengals camp. Bengals just took a little hit today. Marvin Jones has a fractured fifth metatarsal of his foot. Well, you know, they say a couple weeks, but you know how that thing is. That could go for, you
that
know,
could linger the whole
maybe,
year.
You know, yeah, so that's a big hit for the Bengals, and they have a good football team. Losing Marvin Jones will be a big hit for them.
Pete Prisco, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com, joining us. He's here every Monday. He's here on the phone tonight. Where are you next week, Pete, by the way?
I'm in Miami. I got 32 – Sunday I have 32 team previews to do with Pat Kerwin in the studio.
Holy cow.
And then Monday – yeah, 32. It's going to be – that's going to be an all-day affair. And then Monday, I got Monday and Tuesday I have Dolphins practices. So I'm going to try, and if I can work it out, we have a way to do it. I think where I can get the studio in our studio in Fort Lauderdale, and I can actually be on the show the whole time and kill Tony. Or if I can't do it, then I'll call in again.
And then we're going to have you. But then for all the listeners, that, we'll have you for the rest of the year.
Then after that, it's me and you, Tony.
I can't wait, baby.
He'll be 0-1.
Neither could I,
because.
Because you know, I win every single week. It's like I was undefeated and untied last year.
Except, don't forget the Steelers not making the playoffs.
Pete, we'll talk to
you. That was yours too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was yours.
I called that.
Yeah,
Pete, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot for your time tonight.
You got it, fellas. Enjoy it. Talk to you next week.
See you, Pete.
Pete Prisco joining us, CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. He's with us each and every week. He talks a big game. We'll see if he can back it up.
He does talk. He talks more than I do, and that's hard to do.
That's really hard to do. And let's bring on your fellow Jaguars Radio Network analyst now. Jeff Lagerman is with us for a short moment before the season premiere of Jaguars All Access on Channel 4.
On Channel 4.
He's all dressed up.
Yeah, TV dressed tonight. Yeah, you got a new channel. You got a new host with you. You got a lot of new tonight.
Well, it's kind of, Sam's not really a new host. I mean, me and Sam worked together for many years, going back a long time ago. And then actually worked with Sam a little bit when Channel 4 had the Jaguars contract. So looking forward to working with Sam. And tonight we got send Derek Marks on, who probably had the best performance of any player on the football field against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, he was unblockable. And you could probably say it was a combination that Tampa Bay offensive line was not so good. But also, as a good football player, you got to take advantage of those situations. And send Derek did.
Do you still have the smart board and all that film on the show?
Yeah. We were still going to do the film stuff. Actually looked at I know there's a lot of people out there that are excited about watching Blake Bortles, and I did pull one play from the first preseason game on him. But there's a lot of people that weren't able to make it to the scrimmage or watch it on Jaguars.com, and there was one play in particular that really stood out in my mind from the scrimmage, and I wanted to show it to everybody so that they could see it. Okay. And it wasn't even a completion. But it was probably the most important play that he had in the scrimmage because it showed you how athletic and how pocket savvy that he is. I will show that tonight on the
film.
You
want to tell us what it is, a little preview?
That's the tease, JP.
Tune in.
I can't. We got a radio show.
Turn off the radio.
You can tell us afterwards.
Come on.
And watch it on TV.
Let's go.
Jeff, I know you watch
it. Do them both.
Jeff, I know you watch the tape. I just got done watching it. Probably the most impressive thing I was impressed with a number of things. But the throw Blake Bortles made as he was running the naked, rolling out to his right, the defensive end read it, was bearing down and is hitting him as he throws about an 18-yard comeback.
It was nice.
On time, in the only spot he could throw it without the defensive back making the play. I mean, that right there was like, wow. That was a big-time throw, a big-boy throw.
Yeah, low and away, and I'm going to show one of the other impressive throws that he had tonight because I think it's a little bit easier for a right-handed quarterback to roll to his right and throw.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be showing one where he rolls to his left and throws. And he could have been greedy, but I give him a lot of credit. You know, and we're going to talk to send Derek Marks tonight too because I don't know if you remember on the sideline, Mercedes Lewis talked about his demeanor. Winston Guy, we talked to him in the post-game report, and he talked about his demeanor. You know, and so I want to get Senderek's take on Blake Bortles' demeanor.
Mercedes said he was dope.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear
that. That was the exact wording that he used. Yeah. And, you know,
Jeff looked at me and said, what does that mean?
I did not. Come on.
I can't wit to hear what Senderek has to say about it. That's
big
sure.
Good show tonight.
And you're here at the stadium, right?
Yeah, we're actually at the Bud Zone, and I think they're working on it to where at some point it can be live audience. People can come, and but not tonight, not for the first show.
And so every Monday night you can listen to us, hopefully if you're in the car, listen from 6 to 8. But if you listen in between 6 and 7, you get home, turn on the TV. And
then turn
your
radio back on.
And then turn the radio back on. Or do both at the same time.
Or DVR it, watch it later. That counts the rating, right?
Even better.
If you're a multitasker, do it all at the same time.
Yeah. Hey, have a great show tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Jeff Lagerman joining us from Jaguars All Access. That's on Channel 4 tonight at 7 o'clock. When we return on Jaguars Monday, we'll go through some positions. We looked at the tape today. I know, Tony, you did. We'll break that down coming up a little bit later. We'll talk defense, too. And Paul Posluszny set to join us in studio after the walkthrough tonight. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
New system, new routes, new way. The JTA's Route Optimization Initiative will bring more direct routes with more reliable and increased frequency to Jacksonville by December 1st, 2014. For more information, visit jtafla.com or call 904-630-3100. Jaguars Monday rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Baselli. Pete Prisco joined us on the phone earlier. He'll be with us every week starting in 2 weeks, right? He's going to be in Miami, he said, next week.
Yeah, he's running scared.
He's going to be ahead by one anyway. I'm going to beat you later on the CopyFax face-off, so...
We need to do something this year where the people can tweet in or go to the Facebook page and vote who won the CopyFax.
And I forgot to mention.
Facts off, whatever it's called.
You have no idea what it's called. Tony.
I just know CopyFax pays for it.
At JP Shadrick, at Tony Baselli, right? That's yours. And you can get it on Twitter with us as well tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, Tony, had a chance to watch the game tape today. And let's start on offense with this thing. Everybody wants to talk quarterbacks. So. Henny, where did he stand in your mind? Did he make a couple balls over his head on the snaps? That didn't help things
around.
But taking that out, plays that he had, the ball in his hand, was able to get rid of it. Was he okay? What did he look like?
Average. I think Chad would say the same thing. It was hard because they never got in a rhythm. It started with the beginning of the first series when they didn't run the ball very well, big loss of yardage. McCoy blew up the whole play, and they were behind down and distance a lot. Yep. And when you're behind down and distance, and Paul Posluszny has walked in, he can talk about that's what the defense is trying to do. Because if you can get an offense behind down and distance like the Jaguars' first offense was, it makes it very difficult for everybody. They never got the run game going. You know, the offensive line I thought was a little shaky inside the first couple of series. They settled down after that. And so there was no rhythm, and Chad missed some things on timing. And so Chad talked about it, as a unit, it was average to below average for that first group because they never got anything going.
Right. Paul Posluszny joins us in the HennanyAutos.com studios, fresh off a walkthrough. And we're talking about Chad Henne and the offense's performance. And Chad mentioned in the locker room today, you know, you get to 3rd and 8, 3rd and long, and you're kind of, hamstrung. You can't do much. And obviously on the defensive side, that's what you want to put an offense in, right? I mean, you want them 3rd and long.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always our goal. We always want to say we want to win on 1st and 2nd down so that we can get to 3rd and 7+, because that's when most defenses, you know, us included, are able to really use our blitz packages, run some different stunts, let the D-line get after it. That's when we're able to change up some things. It's a hard down for the defense is when it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. That's when offense can, you know, throw a quick pass, fall forward, next thing it's a 1st down. So 3rd and 7+ is what we're looking for defensively.
Yep. And the way you guys played the run on Friday night, you guys found yourself in that situation and talking. You know, you're not going to blitz a lot in the preseason. You know, Babich is going to dial it back. But the one times you guys did blitz, it worked perfectly. It looked like it was a blitz by you with Telvin Smith kind of reading the back. If he blocks, he's going to blitz afterwards. And you guys got a lot of pressure leading the interception.
Yeah, that was a great call by coach, and we were able to get home a little bit, get some pressure on the quarterback. You saw, you know, put him in an uncomfortable position. Telvin gets his hands up. Next thing you know, it's a pick six. So that was a great play for our defense. It showed that, you know, rush and cover needs to work together. And when we do get pressure on the quarterback, great things can happen for us.
Paul, I mean, you're a three-down linebacker, so you're out there the entire time. But you mentioned how important first down is, especially winning on that first down. And you got to be happy with the additions, you know, Big Red Bryant and their big body, Ziggy Hood, who can rotate and give Sendarek Marks some breaks this year. And then obviously Chris Clemens, and you still have Tyson and Roy Miller. I was joking with him in the hallway. I said, hey, boy, it's nice to watch you play with two hands and two arms at work, because he is an immovable force. you got to love that as middle backer. Gives you a lot of free room to roam around and make plays.
Yeah, this is a great situation for a linebacker to be in with the guys that we have up front now and the depth that we had. I mean, everybody that you named, we can rely on and we can trust to be out there. So that's a great thing about it. We're going to have a great rotation on our defensive line with a lot of big bodies that can stop the run. And when it's time to rush the passer, we can put in Andre Branch and Chris Clemens and the guys that can get after the passer as well.
Year two of the this defense with obviously Gus Bradley's defense, Bob Babich, how much more comfortable are you? I mean, I know you're a guy who studies, and not that you weren't uncomfortable last year, but as a unit, knowing what is expected, and it looks like, at least it's only one preseason game, but the speed you guys are playing with is a notch up.
We're much farther along than we were last year. Just to have another year in the system and the communication between the linebackers and the secondary and the linebackers and the D-line, everything is going much more smoothly this year. Now that we have an entire offseason in the program, you know, same guys are back. The guys that we brought in, you know, we're talking about Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, and the impact that they're going to have, came in from Seattle. So, you know, they came in on day one and knew exactly what we needed them to do. So we are much farther along, and that allows us to play faster. We're no longer thinking about things on the field. We can just read and react and get to the football.
Paul Posluszny is with us. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli, fresh off the walkthrough. You know, this linebacking crew has a lot of young faces on it now. I mean, Telvin Smith's flying everywhere, as you just mentioned, Tony, just a moment ago. Geno Hayes has been around for a little while on the other side. He's playing through that knee thing, and, you know, he's just a guy, when he's out there, is strong. Whenever Watson gets back.
Leroy
Reynolds has been playing that auto spot with him out. But talk about the young guys, Smith and Leroy Reynolds. Reynolds coming back now for about a second year, but those guys have really moved quickly, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They've come along fast. You know, they're both the guys that you mentioned are number one. They want to grow. They want to get better, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to do that. So it's great to have them in the room. And they're going to have an impact for us right away. I mean, you see what Leroy is able to do. You know, he's a potential starter for us. You know, if it's week one and he's a starter, everybody trusts him. Everybody's ready for him to play. And then you see Telvin come in, obviously great speed. That's what stands out with him, great speed. You know, he has great instincts for such a young guy. And he's going to have an impact. You know, he's going to have an impact for us right away. He's going to play right away. So we're excited about him because he has a ton of potential.
Does Telvin talk a lot on the field?
On the field, he's very focused. You know, he has that great personality. You know, Florida State guy, a lot of charisma, loves to have fun. But when he's on the field, he's all about ball. You know, he's all about ball, and he wants to play at his highest level.
What does Telvin add, especially in nickel? I mean, the guy runs like a defensive back. I mean, it's unreal watching him. What does he add, especially in the coverage package and the blitz packages you guys want to run?
Just like you said, you know, his speed and his range, he's able to cover so much ground that in passing situations he can come in, drop back into coverage, and then sprint, break up on a check down, you know, and make a tackle for a 2-yard gain. So that's the main thing. Just he has great speed, and he's able to cover so much ground when he's dropping back into coverage. And he's a really good athlete. I mean, we saw him make a play, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback in the preseason one, and that's only going to continue as we continue to develop our packages and develop our pressures. He'll add more to it. So his speed is definitely the main thing. It gives him a great advantage to cover a ton of ground in coverage.
Well, everyone's talking about in this entire city and everywhere else is Blake Bortles, third overall pick. Chad's the starter, and I think everyone's embraced that. He's done a good job leading. But talk a little bit. You've been around a long time, Paul. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. You've seen a lot of rookies come and go. Talk about Blake's, how he's handled the situation, really his presence and what he's brought to what he brings as a quarterback, as a young player.
Mm-hmm. The great thing about Blake is he has done and said all the right things from day one from stepping in here. I mean, you know, he's going to be a stud in this league because he does all the things right. He comes early, stays late, works hard, says all the right things. So it's exciting. We're excited about him because he has that potential to be, you know, an elite quarterback. And then down the road, that's what we need him to be. And you know, he comes into a little bit of a unique situation where we say, all right, you know, Chad's our guy. We trust Chad, and he's the starter. And Blake has been able to come in and say, all right, that's fine. I want to learn as much as I can. I want to improve as much as I can and continue to grow throughout this process.
As a veteran, and I remember preseason games, you want to get your reps. Stay healthy. Don't look stupid. Make sure you play well. And then you get out there and you put the ball cap on. You're sitting there watching. I got to imagine the veterans watching some of the throws that Blake made. You just sit back and go, my goodness, those are big boy throws.
Absolutely. You know, he put the ball in some tight windows in our first preseason game. So that was exciting to see, because you look back and say, wow, now he can sling it. You know, he can really throw the ball downfield, and he put it in some tight spots, which it's great to see, because it's, you know, just like we said, he'll continue to grow and he's going to get better at that. That's the exciting part about him.
What does this team need to do? Obviously, the mantra from the head coach is get better every day. But specifically, to take the next step as a defense, just talk about the defense side of the ball. I know you guys have high goals and you want to be great. What does this defense need to continue to improve on to reach the level that you guys know you can?
Mm-hmm. I think that the main thing is we need to be consistent throughout. So we come in the preseason game one, and we play pretty well. Well, now we need to grow from that. And we need to take the next step and get better and continue to get better. So we want to be very, very consistent and make sure that we handle everything we need to. We need to be very physical in the running game and get after the quarterback when it's time. But we always need to continue to grow, get better, and make sure that we're on a consistent path for that.
Paul Posluszny with us on Jaguars Monday, coming off the walk-through practice field into the studio. You know, it's game week. It's a short week. Chicago coming up on Thursday night. Is the prep a little more about the opponent now, or is it still about you guys at
right,
this point?
Right now, it's still about us, our technique and our fundamentals. We're starting to get into a little bit more of Chicago compared to what we did for preseason one. You know, we'll start to study the opponent a little bit more. But right now, I mean, we are still in training camp mode. Mm-hmm. We want to work on our technique, our fundamentals. We say this is a rules game. You know, we want to use our rules for our defense and apply those to what Chicago does to be successful.
How much will you watch just as individual? I know it's limited team film study, but how much will you watch the Chicago Bears? I mean, they got a great offense, great quarterback in Cutler, two stud receivers. Mm-hmm. Forte is a very good back, better offensive line than they have had in the past, big time. I mean, they got a complete offense. How much will you watch individually of the Chicago Bears offense?
Yeah, so we'll take a look at cut-ups, you know, a couple cut-ups throughout the week. I want to see what they did in preseason game number one, because Coach Babbitt said they had 11 explosive plays. So they threw the ball really well. They made some big plays. So we'll take a close look at that just to see the types of plays that they run, because we have an idea, and we're not going to game plan like we're game planning for Philly. But we definitely, you want to have some sort of idea on what they do and what their capabilities are.
Nationally televised game, you know, second preseason game. This franchise has come a long way in a year from last season's team to this year. Is there anything to that for you guys? What you want to show off, how improved this team is, or is that come in your mindset at all this week?
Not even thinking about it, really. You know what I mean? I didn't even know it was televised until Coach Bradley told us that in the team meeting. But okay. He said, hey, that's nothing we've got to worry about. You know, it's going to be a nationally televised game, which is great for everybody to have a chance to see us. But our focus is on our process. You know, he wants to see us go out and use the techniques and fundamentals that we've continued to work on throughout camp. He wants to see us take a next step, you know, from preseason one to preseason two. So, you know, TV and all that other stuff, it's an away game. You know, it's on the road, you know, Soldier Field. You know, there's a lot of stuff surrounding it. But we try to block all that out and say we need to focus on us and focus on our process to get better.
And Gus does a good job of getting ahead of that kind of stuff, right? In the team meeting today, he mentioned that the road and this, there's distractions this week, short week. He's done a good job of that and always does a good job of that, getting ahead of what could be a problem down the road.
Absolutely. He always, you know, he did it. He addressed it right away in our team meeting, talked about it and said, okay, this is all the stuff that we have going on this week. You know, we're traveling, we're doing this, we're doing that, short week. Now, push all that aside. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the fundamentals. That's what's so great about us, about Coach Bradley. He makes everything so simple for us and says, all you need to do is focus on today. Focus on today's practice, then the practice is done. Focus on the walkthrough and focus on getting better. And when you have that mindset, everything else becomes easy.
Paul Posluszny joining us. We appreciate your time after this really strenuous walkthrough you just had out here.
Yeah, it's tough out here today.
Paul, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Posluszny joining us on Jaguars Monday. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get back to the offensive game tape. Go through the defense a little bit later, too. Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars. It's rolling along. You can also check out Blake Bortles mic'd up from Friday's game on Jaguars.com. And coming up tomorrow, visits with Alex Marvez and Bill Polian from Sirius XM Radio. They were in camp today. Have you watched the Blake Bortles mic'd up, Tony?
I have not seen it. Is
it
good?
Oh, man, you got to watch it. It's pretty cool. First NFL action. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 to get in on Jaguars Monday. At JP Shadrick on Twitter. And what's yours? At Tony Baselli, is that it?
It's very complex, yes, at Tony Baselli.
Just like you. You're a complex man.
I am complex.
Tony.
I got a lot going on.
Before Paul came in, we were talking a little offense. Got through Henny. Of course, let's move on to number five now a little bit. You know, the fans, if you asked them, he'd start tomorrow. If you asked him, he'd say he has some things to work on. So what are some things that weren't so great about the tape with Blake?
Well, listen, I mean, it was his first start. I mean, overall, it was great. I mean, could he have maybe made some different reads? Could he gone to guy A instead of guy B here or there? Sure. But overall, he had complete control of the situation. He was great in the pocket. He moved the ball very well. My biggest complaint would be slide earlier so you don't take a shot in the head, although that should have been a penalty.
Now, was it helmet to helmet? I didn't see the helmet hit the
helmet. So it was helmet to helmet. I watched it on the TV copy. We had a great look at it. Channel 4 did a great job of getting that. It was crown of the helmet to his face mask and knocked his helmet off. It should have been a penalty.
But even as – I'm just playing devil's advocate here. As a runner outside of the pocket, sliding late – and the defender's already
fine, but you can't
in
lead,
motion.
You can't lead with your head. Right. That's the whole rule of the NFL. You can't lead with your head.
No matter what. Yeah.
No, I mean, in the tackle box you can, but outside like that, you can't lead with the crown of your head.
All right. Well, it should have been a penalty.
Without a doubt. But he needs to slide earlier, especially at the end of the half when nothing is going to happen. In fact, I have no idea why they I got to talk to Jed, I got to talk to my man, Jed Fish. I love Jed, but – I hope it was Blake doing it on his own because, my goodness, why are we calling a quarterback keeper with no time left?
It was a replay, wasn't it? Just read the other way.
No, don't read anything. Hand it to Storm Johnson. I mean, that's what you do.
Speaking of Storm Johnson, let's go running game. Of course, Gerhardt was out of the game. The news about Toby Gerhardt today, he might be back on the practice field tomorrow, by the way. JT Thomas, the linebacker as well. They said things are progressing nicely with both of those guys. So Gerhardt might be back tomorrow. Of course, was out Friday. Storm Johnson got a lot of time. Todman, I think, had 5 carries for minimal yardage. Denard Robinson later in the game showed some nice
outside
speed.
Outside of Denard Robinson, I think everyone had minimal yardage. The running game wasn't very good.
And I think Storm had yardage just piled up because he had so many carries in the game. But
listen,
the running game was not good overall. That's it.
It was not good. I mean, there was a flash here or there, and the big run by Denard Robinson was a very good play. And he has special speed, and that's why you want him to get better at catching the ball because he has special speed on the field. He can do some great things. You got to have confidence he can catch the ball. But overall, the running game was not good. And the first unit, it was terrible. And it's something that's got to improve.
Is it O-line? It's O-line then, right?
It's all of them. No. The running game is not just the offensive line. It starts with the offensive line, and those guys have to play better, and they know it. But the first preseason game can be fool's gold or fool's panic. I mean, either way, you don't want to go too far either direction because the reality is it takes time. You got 5 guys that have not played together. You got a lot of young guys on there. You got to give them time to develop. You have to give them an opportunity to get out there, get some reps against live guys and move in full speed and everything else. But for the first time, listen, I promise you, Luke Butkus, the offensive line coach, had plenty of corrections and had a lot of teaching moments in that film room. And this team has to be able to run the ball efficiently if you want long-term success.
Well, yeah. That's even in the passing-oriented league, you got to run the football and control the ball.
Pete Prisco will be on this show for the rest of the year, and he will argue and yell and scream about throw the ball. And listen, I get it. Quarterback is the most important position on the football field. There's not an argument. There's no debate about it. But if you want to win, you want to win championships, you want to win when it counts, and you want to win in tough, close games, you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage, you have to be able to run the ball. And we did not control the line of scrimmage in the running game consistent enough. And so there's a lot to clean up there.
Let's get to these running backs then. Let's go one by one. Storm Johnson, overall night. If you had to grade it, let's do a grading system.
You know, I give him a C+, B-. You know, I thought there was – listen, He is a big guy. He's a physical runner. He has a lot of talent. I've liked what I've seen in practice, and he's got a. I think he has a future. I think he has to be more decisive, of hitting the holes. I think there was some hesitation at times. There's some moments where he could have. He's
had
got
some happy feet, maybe.
I don't know, but happy feet. He's got to understand in the NFL. Listen, getting 2 or 3 yards is okay instead of trying to, you know, cut back and do different things and losing yardage. And that's just something a young running back has to understand. Things he could do at UCF because he was physically just more talented, you're not going to get away with here. And he had some very nice runs, and he did some very good things. But at times, he has to be more decisive of hitting the holes and trusting that things are going to be there. And that's tough when it's your first start. So, you know, a B minus. I'll give him a B minus because his first start.
You just talked yourself up on him.
I said C plus B minus, and I talked myself through it, and I'm going to give him a B minus.
That's, well, there you go. Denard Robinson. He had the flash, the touchdown, one other lengthy run, not lengthy, but a little longer than 2 or 3 yards.
I'm going to give him a B, and the only reason I don't give him a higher grade is because I know I want to see consistent ball catching, and now he didn't have an opportunity to do that, well, so it's not fair.
Yeah, you've seen that all camp.
But though, I want to see him just consistently continue to catch the ball. He has great speed. He has breakaway game speed and what he can do. And he runs the stretch, and he gets on the corner, and he can get, you know, when it looks like there's nothing, he can get 2 or 3 yards because of his speed of getting and breaking contained. So he did some nice things.
On the touchdown run, I mean, it looked like the defenders were going to come out. They had an angle on him, it looked like.
They did have an angle. He ran away from the angle. I mean, that's something that's hard not to put on the field. And it wouldn't surprise me when this thing all shakes out that if he was the backup running back and splitting carries with Todman as the backup.
Moving all the way down from where he was. So he's right now. Officially, I guess he's, what, officially third on the depth chart.
You know what
right
the
now.
Depth chart means right now?
Nothing.
You know what the zero. It means
less
nothing.
Than zero.
Nothing. It's negative. It's a negative number, whatever that number is. Pick it. It doesn't mean anything. It's so early in camp. It's so early in the preseason. I don't care where they pencil them in right now. Neither does Gus Bradley or Dave Caldwell or anyone else. They're going to get opportunities. They're going to get reps, and we'll find out opening day where everything shakes out. But Denard Robinson's going to – I think he's going to be on the active 45 because he's a good special teams player. He does a good job as a gunner. And his speed, if they can get some confidence in him catching the ball, it's tough not to put on the field.
And that's where he'll be in special teams. It won't be in returning. They wanted to take that out of his game, let him focus on running back and gunner, right? That's
it. He does a good job.
Yeah.
He does a very good job out there.
Continuing on running backs, Jordan Todman. What'd he do for you? I know they like him.
Yeah, they like him. And Jordan's going to be on the team. Listen, he showed that last year, and he did a good job. He had very little opportunity to do much because the blocking was not very good when Jordan was in there. He had a nice downhill run. He'll get north and south. He's a tough runner. He's not the biggest guy, but I like the way he runs the ball. And so, you know, he's probably – I mean, I think him and Denard – and Storm's in there too. Storm still can earn that backup running back job. They're going to get him opportunity in the preseason, but, you know – Todman right now is still the guy who's going to back up Gerhardt at this point.
If the Jags are keeping 4 running backs, there's Gerhardt, Todman, Robinson, Storm Johnson, and Terrence Cobb on the roster right now. Who gets whacked?
Mr. Cobb. I don't like whacking anybody or cutting anybody.
It's 1 week of the preseason.
It's too early to do that. But right now, you know, injuries and a lot of things can happen. But right now, it would be the 4 guys you mentioned first.
Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go wide receiver now. Of course, a banged-up position. Cecil Shorts III is down. Allen Robinson is down. You know, a lot of people made a stink about the post-game when Gus Bradley was talking about Marquise Lee and the effort and all that. I don't know if you read the dust-up after that. But Gus kind of tried to clear that up today and said it was really just one play and – it was a comeback where he didn't really run well, and there was some the coverage was strange or something, right? And that's Lee? He didn't have a catch in the game.
He has great talent. I think he can run routes cleaner, and he needs to work on his route running. But he has the speed, and he can do things out there. He's very smooth. He didn't get any opportunities. The ball never came to him. He's going to be a star. He's going to be a good player.
Moving along to the other guys. A guy like Allen Hurns. This guy's undrafted out of Miami. He comes in and he's had a great camp.
I don't know how he didn't get drafted in 7 rounds.
No, he was thinking. He told me the other day. He said I'd be a 5th round pick. He thought, you know, he'd be a middle to late round pick. Is what he.
I have no idea how he didn't get picked because he looks very good. He had a nice game. Does a good job. He has a good sized body. He catches the ball very well. So listen, I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be fighting and probably has a good chance to be one of the 4th, 5th receiver on this team.
Let's go go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get back to the receivers in a moment, but Jay on the west side wants to talk running backs. Jay, good evening.
Jay, good evening. How are you this evening?
Great. How are you?
I have a question. I have a statement of question. And let me preface by saying that I'm a football coach. I've coached everything from Pop Warner to semi-pro, high school, college, whatever. And my question is, why are you all anointing Todd Gerhardt as the starting running back? Because he's a free agent. He came in. You know, his only thing is he's behind Adrian Peterson. He has run the ball good in Minnesota, but he hadn't really proved that he can carry the mail either. So why is he being anointed as the running back when one of those other guys might step up and do better than he does in the preseason? Are they going to still let Gerhardt be the start? And you know, like I said, I haven't seen anything from him, maybe because he's hurt. But you know, this thing about, oh, he's the running back. You know, why is he being anointed when he has to get on the field like everybody else and prove what he can do?
Well, listen.
Thanks for the call.
Everyone's got to prove what they do. I mean, that's Gus Bradley's mantra. It's about competition. But if you watch the preseason, I mean, you watch training camp, he looks like the best running back so far. And you base it on what he's done on the field in his past. And he was the best. I mean, he looks like the best running back right now on the roster. Now, does he have to do it in the preseason? Does he have to be healthy? Absolutely. But I think he averaged almost 5 yards a carry, over 5 yards a carry. With the Vikings, he has good hands.
Almost 8 yards a carry last year.
I mean, he's a explosive player. He's looked great in practice until he got banged up. I mean, he's a starter right now. I mean, I don't know what you want to tell what you think. I mean, I don't know what else you saw on Friday night that would make you think any different. But from watching all the practices, and we've been out there almost every day. JP has been out there every day, and watching what he did last year in Minnesota. I think he's a starter.
But I'll say this, Tony. Even when he's been out there in practice, he hasn't been the full Toby Gerhardt, because he can't be the full Toby Gerhardt. You don't blow up your teammates. You can't go, you know.
Listen, Toby Gerhardt's a good running back. I mean, listen, he'll be healthy. He's going to be fine, and he'll show it in the preseason. What was the last caller's name?
Jay.
I mean, if you don't like Toby, that's fine.
It sounds like he doesn't like Toby.
I think he doesn't like Toby. We have our first anti-Toby caller.
Oh, hey, we're going to keep score of these, because it could be long here if we have anti-Toby calls.
I don't know what Toby did to you, Jay.
I don't know. Well, maybe we'll find out from Jay a little later in the year. We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. When we come back, we'll talk a little defense. Also, still to come, you'll hear from Bill Polian, ESPN SiriusXM analyst. He was at Jags camp today. He had some thoughts about Blake Bortles as well. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Come protect the bank on September 21st as the Jags face the Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here for the amazing home opener. The best game day experience in the National Football League and the world's largest video boards. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. Pete Prisco joined us in the first segment tonight. He's a regular on the show, though. He'll be back in studio in a couple of weeks. He's out on the training camp tour to CBSSports.com. Paul Posluszny joined us live in studio. Jaguars middle linebacker right after the Jags walkthrough. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1. 355-6351 at JP Shadrick, at Tony Boselli on Twitter, too. And hey, let's go to Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a little Twitter message.
I did. Hodari11 asking, can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Is he talking about me?
Oh, he's talking about O-line.
Oh, elephant. I thought he was taking a shot at me.
I thought you had
Joe.
Lost some weight, Tony.
I have. I'm on a weight loss pilgrim.
You look slim and trim.
He just said, Joe just said, you couldn't hear it. He said a weight loss marathon. So yeah. It's been a while.
I heard you run marathons, Tony.
No.
Is that true? The elephant in the room, the O-line, specifically center. And, of course, you ask fans, Bortles, great story from Friday night. But, boy, the O-lines and the snaps from Brewster and the lack of physicality of that position and all this. Is it as bad as it looked? And is it more than just the two bad snaps?
Well, I'll say this.
Or do those
the
just
biggest
happen?
Concern, everyone's been talking about wide receiver and the concern there because of the injuries. The biggest concern I have is the center position and where that's going to end up. I think it's a competition right now. We saw Linder take some snaps at center today. At practice?
Yes. That was the first time I think that's happened, too.
And Jacques McClendon has got second team rep snaps in the game after he started at guard. You got Brewster as the starter, and I think it's wide open. The snaps are that's pretty easily something you can correct pretty easily.
Those are glaring because they're in a game.
Yeah, they were bad. But, I mean, yeah. Brewster's been good snapping the ball.
But it's not like they're 10 feet over his head. I mean, they're right kind of –
No, those are high. Those are bad snaps.
But you're with me.
Those are bad snaps. So, we got to be better in the middle of the offensive line. And there was too much penetration during the game. We saw that earlier. Gerald McCoy, who's a great player, was blowing things up.
Yeah, they got good tackles, defensive tackles there.
They do, but it's going to be very interesting. I think we have to be better at the center position.
You know, it's interesting to hear the difference. You know, in the off season, the line was Mike Brewster's the center, and it's going to be a competition there. But Mike Brewster is kind of the guy, and that's the guy they've talked up as being the
guy someone else shows they're the guy.
Right, and if you can't show it, this coming up game, just hearing Gus say it in the press conference the other day. You know, yeah, the starters might have made some mistakes, and, hey, the snaps went over the head, and that's fine. You know what? Maybe it was the hand ball was slippery, this and that, but you're going to get another chance to correct it and move forward. But if things happen like that again, then you might not get as many chances as a starter, and that's when things can really start changing after a couple of games.
Right? No, absolutely. Listen, like I said at the beginning about Bortles, it was a great first preseason game, but it was one preseason game. And you're not going to bury a guy or kill a guy because of one preseason game either. Mike Brewster has to play better. Jacques McClendon's got to play better.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of guys you can go down the list that need to play better.
I need to play better.
The center was glaring. You got to play better all the time. Center was glaring. The snaps were not very good, and there was way too much pressure and push in the middle of that line, too much penetration. It's something that I think has been – I've noticed during all of training camp. I think that we need more consistency there. If Brewster is going to be the center, he's got to step his game up to another level. He's got to play better.
Can you do that this fast, though? I mean, if it is what it is right now, can you get that much better in 3 weeks?
Well, let's not worry about getting that much better. Let's worry about getting a little bit better.
Okay.
And let's just try to get a little bit better there and see where we end up and what that does. At this level, getting to a level of play that is winning football, there's not a huge margin sometimes. It's the little things. It's improving the little things. And so I think that's what Mike Brewster has to work on. And Jacques McClendon. And, heck, now Brandon watching practice today, Brandon Lender got some reps. And he is a guy right now, in my book, he's got to start somewhere. He's one of the five best offensive linemen on this team. And I know he's a rookie, but he's one of the five best.
You know, right after the draft and into the offseason program, he's going to be the right guard, right? That's kind of the thinking that, you know, they traded up to get this guy right guard. Could he be the center?
Listen, right now what you have to do, I think, if you're the offensive staff and head coach Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, the GM, you have to find your five best guys.
Okay, no matter where they are.
And plug them in where they give you the best chance of succeeding.
All right.
And if that's Lender at center and then McClendon at guard, so be it. If it's Lender at guard, McClendon or Brewster at center, so be it. Just find the five best guys.
Do you remember your first preseason game, Tony, and any mistakes you might have made?
I didn't play in the preseason my rookie year because I had a knee scope and hurt my knee in training camp, got it scoped. And my first game was a Sunday night game against the Green Bay Packers.
But the next season, or did you even play in the first preseason game?
I played the first – I don't even know.
But you don't even remember it?
No, I have no idea.
That's the whole point.
No clue.
2-3 years from now, this all will be forgotten, good and bad, right? I mean, half a year from now.
The Monday after week one, no one will care about the first preseason game.
Well, we're talking a lot about it.
Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're in the evaluation period right now. It's all about evaluating.
Yes.
It's all about getting better. It's not about wins and losses right now.
That's right.
It's about getting better, and we have to get better at the center position. Listen, we need to get better all around. We need our receivers to play better, quarterback. I mean, we're not going to pick on just one position, but it's glaring. If you're looking at concerns at this offense right now, center is one of the things that is an explanation point for me right next to it because we need to have better play out of that position.
What has been in the franchise history, Tony, the most uneasy center time? Is this it right now? Has there always been a guy that this team has been comfortable with? Obviously the last 13 years with Meester, or most of those years he was center. The first few he was not. Has there always been a solid center here, or is that
I mean, it's ebbed and flowed of average to good players. You know, Brad being the best center we've ever had.
Yeah.
This is probably, yeah, I guess this is, I mean, I'd have to think about it, but top of mind, yeah, this is probably the most question marks at that position.
Just coming off of what was happening the last 10 years. I mean, that it's hard.
Well,
to,
yeah, I mean, well, hard when to have Brad was here, ready and you waiting. Weren't worried about it. I mean, that's who your guy was. He was going to be the center. I mean, you kind of just – and that's comforting as a coaching staff. You go, okay, we know this guy is going to be here.
That's one of your five that's set right
it's
there.
It's set. And right now you have that. I mean, you know Luke's your left tackle. Austin's your right tackle. And Zane Beatles. You
three
feel
out of
good.
Five.
You feel good about Linder. Now you got to find that fifth guy.
Three out of okay, four out of five then is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not going to anoint Linder as.
But you say he's
right
going to be in there at one of those.
I think he is. I feel very comfortable with him. So he's a rookie. Is he going to make mistakes? Are there going to be rough Sundays at times? Sure, he's a rookie. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be a learning curve for him to play at this level. But he has shown in practice, he showed in the preseason game, that he has the strength and the power and the ability to get it done.
Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's move over to defense now. I'm looking at this television up here, and Cindric Marks is on Jaguars All Access on Channel 4 right now. We knew this going in. I mean, the defensive line was going to be a point of emphasis in the offseason and the free agency and all that, and it certainly was. They went in and got three key guys up front in free agency, and because of that, Friday night's game for that group was highly anticipated. They wanted to see what all this money invested was all about. How do you balance their performance with what was going on in the Tampa offensive line, and where does the rubber meet the road there? How much of it was the Jags' D-line was this much better than them, or how do you kind of equate that?
The Jaguars' defensive line was miles ahead and better than the Tampa offensive line.
Okay.
Now, I don't think they're very good. Especially at the Tampa Bay at the guard positions. They're solid at the tackles. And Evan Dietrich Smith is a good center. Their guards are very average to below average. And the Jaguars did exactly what you're supposed to do. They took advantage of it. And, frankly, they had some good rushes outside, and they were outstanding against the run. They stuffed it up. There was nowhere for the Buccaneers' run game to go. So, I mean, it was an A performance.
Okay.
Hey. A-plus by Cindric Marks for that defensive line. Now, this week – it's a much tougher test. The Chicago Bears offensive line with Bushrod and Slauson, Garza, Kyle Long, the second-year player, is a big, massive human being, and Jordan Mills, the right tackle, Marcellus Bennett, their tight end. That's a good unit, and it's going to be a great test. It'll be a physical matchup in the trenches with the defensive line that we have, which I think is very good. And this Chicago Bears will be a great measuring stick for them to come out. Can they have the consistent effort week in, week out, week one to week two? And how do they match up? You got Forte back there running the ball, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
You know, watching the tape with you earlier, Tony, the one real place stood out with me on the defensive line against the run. It was Red Bryant, and he was up against a tight end, had no chance.
He took like 15 Tampa Bay Buccaneers and like held them up with – two arms and shoved them all into the backfield and then made the tackle. I mean, it was a great play.
I think the center came over and tried to help, and that didn't help. No, and it was just he's a massive guy, and that's why you bring a guy like Brian in.
Oh, yeah. He's not there to rush the passer. He's there to stop the run and just make life miserable. And you got him and Roy Miller.
How about Roy playing?
Roy played very well. And listen, Roy last year, I mean, it wasn't to his standards as far as the overall end product, but he played with one arm. And what he was able to do with one arm last year was good. But I was reminded of what Roy Miller was watching the tape with two arms, two healthy shoulders and strength. The guy's a human bowling ball. He's not that tall, first of all. That's why I call him bowling ball. I mean, right. He probably doesn't like it. He's like a rock, you know, he's just like a big old boulder that just sits there in the middle. And
that's
nicer. You watch him. Yeah, boulder's probably nicer than bowling ball. So don't tell Roy I said bowling ball. He's a big human being. He's strong.
Bowling ball is mojo. That's right.
So we'll say a boulder. He's just this big. I mean, he just presses the center and sometimes two guys with those massive arms of his and just stands them up. And he doesn't move. And if you watch the stat sheet, it's not like anything's going to jump out what he does, because you're going to look at his stat line, oh, a couple assists, maybe a solo tackle here or there. In the rare occasion, he might get a sack.
Maybe.
But if you watch the tape and if you ask Paul Posluszny, he's as critical as anything on that defensive line, because what he's able to do, he eats up a lot of area. He shoves offensive linemen in the backfield. He doesn't let them get up to the linebacker level. And if he were, you know, in this game, it's all about staying healthy. And so this next comment goes for any player on the field. You got to stay healthy. And if he does, he makes it very difficult for people to move and run the ball, especially between the tackles. And with him and Big Red Bryant, boy, and Cindric Marks, and he played great. And, you know, Clem did a good job. And Andre Branch didn't rush the passer great. He didn't get a lot of opportunities to. Mm-hmm. But he was outstanding. He did a great job against the run and his length. It's a very good unit. And you got Tyson rotating in. I mean, you got a lot of guys. Avery Jones is getting better as a young player. The depth in the front line players of this defensive line makes it the best unit on the team.
And that's the key word, is the depth. I mean, that's something they didn't have the last 2-3 years.
No, Marks played like 90% of the plays some games. I mean, it was like beat dead.
And you know what? He didn't complain about
Never.
That because he wants to be on the
field.
He loves
ball. I mean, he's just a
But you
ball
can't
player.
Do that. I mean, you look at – you can go back to the Seattle comparison all you want, but that's the facts.
Those guys
play 500-600 snaps. Cindric played over 900 snaps last year.
And Cindric Marks is not a huge human being when it comes to defense linemen. Now, he's a huge average human being, 6'2", 295. But for a three technique, he has speed. He has great hand movement. He uses good leverage. But, man, if you get a couple big offensive tackles and guards and centers beating on him for 70 plays, I mean, it's going to be hard for anyone to hold up. And what he did last year was tremendous, and I applaud him. But I don't think anyone wants him to have to do that. And he's going to be a much more productive player when you cut his snaps. And he's only out there 55-60% of the plays.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Get your group together for the best game day experience in the National Football League at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform, which was awesome on Friday night, including Spa Cabana's special group ticket pricing and more. Reserve your group experience today, jaguars.com/groups. When we return, a look at linebackers, defensive backs. I might even dominate Tony Boselli in the Copy Facts face-off, too.
I can't wait. What are we going to talk about, JP?
Get ready. We'll figure that out in a moment. Jaguars Monday continues after these words on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Jaguars Monday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli. Pete Prisco is in Cincinnati tonight. He joined us in the opening segment. Yeah, scared of you, Tony. He'll be back on the phone next week from Miami, and maybe in a studio, and maybe even the whole show next week. But he'll be in person in studio in 2 weeks to join us on Jaguars Monday. Our thanks to Paul Posluszny as well. Jaguars middle linebacker came off the practice field after walkthrough and joined us here in studio to talk about the Jags defense and the upcoming game Thursday night at Soldier Field in Chicago. You know, I'm curious about this, Tony. When was the last time you were at Soldier Field?
Oh, man.
You guys played there in, what, 98?
98. I think that was the last time I was there. Yeah, 98 was the
last
time. Was
that the old Soldier Field?
No, it was just renovated.
I think that was the only time the Jags won at Soldier Field. It was 98.
That's the only time I played there.
And they obviously the Jags haven't played there much.
No,
they only played
not
like
very
six
often.
All time, I think. Only a few of those in Soldier Field.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I played there.
98.
Or was there at all. I'm looking forward to it. Chicago's a great city.
Yeah, it is.
I'm looking forward to eating some good food.
Well, I'll be here, but you can eat one for
Joe
me.
Joe and I will be
great.
Eating somewhere.
Yeah, that's great. No.
Joe Fortunato, our esteemed producer, greatest in the business. Just ask him. He likes to eat, so I like to go out with him because he likes to eat. And I'm all about eating.
Fun town to eat in, no doubt about that. That's coming up on Thursday. The team will leave on Wednesday, and then Thursday night, 8 o'clock, it's a nationally televised game, ESPN, the Monday night crew has the game between the Jags and the Chicago Bears. You know, earlier today at Jags practice, Sirius XM was here today. Alex Marvez, Bill Poy, and the longtime executive in the league, of course, and built the Bills dynasty in the late 80s, I guess, when they went to four straight Super Bowls. Built
early
that.
90s, yeah.
Was the start of the Panthers, too. He was there for a couple of years, got that going. That's when Dave Caldwell came in the mix. And then, of course, went to Indianapolis, drafted Peyton Manning and all that. Bill Polian was here today. We had a chance to catch up with Bill, and you'll see the entire interview coming up, I think, tomorrow on Jaguars.com. But, of course, the big question around here is about quarterback Blake Bortles, and Bill Polian knows all about first-round quarterbacks.
You can set back a young quarterback pretty significantly if you put him in there, A, before he's not ready, or B, if you don't have the people around him who can help him. Keep in mind, Peyton Manning was 3-13 his rookie year. In this case, this is a young team that's all going to grow up together, and you have a very high-quality quarterback in Chad Henne who can man the fort until such time as Blake is ready to go.
Kind of what we've heard around here before, but a guy who has experience with a team that was around Peyton Manning already, had some parts there. You put Peyton in, what?
Let me ask you a question.
What are you smirking at? What?
You think Chris, his son, said, hey, listen, Dad, this is what we're doing. We don't want any quarterback controversy here. I don't need you saying anything that's going to get my boss yelling at me. I'm joking.
Chris listen, Bolian is the pro personnel guy.
Yes. And listen, Bill's right. I mean, and I said it on the broadcast that get ready for everyone calling for Blake Bortles to be the starter. And I still stand with Gus and Dave. It's the right move. They've handled this correctly from the start. Day one, they said Chad Henne's the starter. And if you've noticed and paid attention, there's been no screaming or yelling or extra distraction or pressure on Blake to be something that, whether he's ready or not, that he does not need to be right now. And let him learn the offense, let him work on his fundamentals, let him get better with his footwork, let him learn the offense, let him prepare to be the player that everyone thinks he can be and what he's shown glimpses of so far early in camp in the preseason. And they've handled it perfectly, and Bill's right. Everyone will know when it's time to put Blake in there, and trust me, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley want to win as bad or worse than anybody who's listening to us
Probably worse.
And they know, and they will make, I promise you, when Blake Bortles gives this team the best chance to win, and it's the best for him for not just now but the long term, he will be the starting quarterback.
Question then, to Polian's point, if there were pieces in place, if there's 2 to 3 starting receivers who are experienced and ready to go, and an offensive line that's played together for a year or two for the most part, and maybe a really strong running back in the backfield that's been around, do you play him then?
If he's ready. Listen, Peyton Manning didn't have any of those things when he was the –
He had Marshall Faulk. And he went through. Marvin Harrison was there.
Marvin Harrison was a young player, though. I mean, come on. It's not the Marvin Harrison
we all know.
I got
sold a bill of goods for Poland, is
what
you're saying.
He got sold. I mean, I think Marshall Faulk was still there his first year. But it wasn't like they were great. They were 3-13. They were awful.
Yeah.
But Peyton was ready. He was a four-year guy. He was a senior. He was mature. He was obviously, which has been proven out, mentally ahead of his time, and he's always been ahead of everybody in that sense. And so he was ready. He was ready to handle it. I'm not saying Blake's not, but let this thing play out. What's the hurry? What does it matter who starts week two of Blake Bortles' rookie preseason year? It doesn't matter. They're handling it perfectly.
Listen for the entire interview on Jaguars.com coming up tomorrow, I believe. Bill Polian actually was wearing a Jaguars hat today. That was a little strange to see.
Well, he's got family working for the team.
It's okay.
Plus, you got, you know.
There's plenty of room on the Gus bus, right?
Absolutely. We got Dave as his protege and a lot of connections. And Bill's a great – listen, he's one of the great GMs ever to be a part of this league. And he's done it. He gets it. He knows it. He understands how to put a team together.
How's he not in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know the. He's only been retired from being a GM for 2 years.
That long,
yeah,
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know the rules for that either. I don't know if you have to wait 5 years like a pro, a player does.
Right.
But maybe he should be. He's one of the great GMs ever to be a part of this league, and he's done a great job.
Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's wrap up our defense talk. You know, we got to the line, but we had Pozlesny in here a little while ago, and even Bill was saying it today. This linebacking core, though there's Hayes is back around. If Watson's ready to go, you got young guys like Leroy Reynolds that can play a little bit, it seems like, and a speedster in Telvin Smith. Could this group kind of fly under the radar and be a pretty solid linebacking group here?
Well, it's a good group, but it's still not real deep. I mean, because you don't know what's the status of Dakota Watson. I mean, I think that's an unknown. Leroy Reynolds, second-year player, he's a good player. He's getting better. He's a big, strong physical. He'll hit you right in the mouth and try to knock you out. Obviously, the quarterback of the group is Paul Pozlesny, and he's an outstanding middle linebacker and does a great job of directing traffic, and he can play all three downs.
Yeah.
Geno Hayes, you know, I like what he did last year. He's coming off a little bit dinged up knee, and he still wears the brace
every day, and I think they kind of limit him sometimes.
Yeah,
just to
but
sure he's
a good will linebacker, that weak side linebacker, and he can still run and get around. And you got Telvin Smith, so it's a better group than last year. It's a faster group, and they had to get more speed with Leroy added to that Sam linebacker, and obviously Telvin Smith. So. But it's still not the deepest group, and it's a young group, but a lot of unknowns still. I mean, Leroy Reynolds is an unknown for over 16 games. Telvin Smith has played one preseason game. That we talked about the injury to Dakota. Geno Hayes still wearing a brace. It looks fine out there. He's running around well. I mean, the one thing you know about the group is Paul Pozlesny, who we had in earlier, and he's an outstanding middle linebacker.
He finished second in the league in tackles last year, 161, I guess. He could have much more than that now with a defensive line that can hold up in front of him, right? If he can move around,
or maybe
more.
He'll have less because there'll be more people
other
making
guys
plays,
making tackles, right?
He may
get the tackle stolen from him.
He was all over the place. I mean, Paul. We talked about Brad Meester for 10 years being that guy that you knew was going to be the center. Paul Pozlesny, you know, and you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, and you're confident, and you trust him, and it's a great comfort. If you're Bob Babich, having him as your middle linebacker, calling plays and directing traffic for the defense.
So you're going to have a Pro Bowl season this year?
Boy, that's so hard to tell because of how they vote for the Pro Bowl. I mean,
he got in as a replacement last
year,
right?
Yeah, which he did a great job. But sometimes when you're on, you know, small market still and a team that hasn't had a lot of success for a long time, you get overlooked. And I think Paul probably gets overlooked sometime.
Jaguars Monday. We're looking at the TV and Angie Boselli's on TV right now, Tony.
Much better looking than her husband. And more talented.
I can tell you that, too. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open when we return on Jaguars
copy
Monday.
Copy facts.
The copy facts face-off. And we'll look at the Chicago Bears, too. That game coming up Thursday. It's a short week. I'm going to dominate Tony when Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. On Twitter, too, at JP Shadrick, at Tony Boselli. The Jaguars Women's Club, presented by Steinmart and Culligan, created with a female Jaguars fan in mind. Members receive VIP treatment, including custom membership kits, exclusive opportunities, and a forum to stay connected with the Jags. For more information, go to jaguars.com/womensclub. And remember, October 16th, the NFL 101 event. More info on that coming up soon. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Your wife's everywhere, Tony. She was just on a radio commercial, too.
Yeah, she's very...
She's a bigger star than you are.
Yeah, she's much better at everything than I am, except for football. That's really the only thing I have on her.
Hey, it is time for
right now she might be able to be at that as well.
It is time for the Copy Facts Face-Off. No Pete Prisco tonight, so I'll step in for the CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist. The Jaguars face the Chicago Bears this Thursday at Soldier Field on the Midway. And it's got us to thinking that division, the Norris division. Who is going to win that division this year? You know, Tony, I got the Bears. This offense in Chicago is going to be really strong this year. Cutler. You got receivers. You got an O-line. You got Forte, the running back. Who's going to stop the Bears' offense? I think they win the NFC North this year.
JP, you've missed one major thing about looking at a division.
What's
and
that?
Figuring out who's going to win.
Okay.
You always, and I can't believe I'm saying this because it's a Pete Prisco line.
Uh-oh.
You at least have to pay attention to who is calling the signals and who is slinging the rock. And as we talked about earlier, there's only 4 to 5 guys in this league that can carry a team on their back.
Okay.
And one of them is Mr. Aaron Rodgers. He is arguably, in my opinion, the best, most talented quarterback in the entire NFL.
Aren't they losing parts up there, though?
And if it does not matter.
I think it does.
It does not matter. If
you got parts in Chicago.
What parts on the defensive side of the ball?
Don't talk about
one.
Defense. Well, about offense,
you got to do both.
Off.
I want to know who's going to stop Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. You saw it last year. He gets hurt. They lose 4 or 5 games, 6 games. They are out of it basically, and he comes back with a bunch of, you know, hodgepodge guys and puts them on his back and starts winning ball games again, and almost gets them to the point. Everyone's afraid if they get into the tournament, watch out because they can do a lot of damage. And Aaron Rodgers is that good. And until Aaron Rodgers is no longer on the Green Bay Packers, they are the favorite to win the NFC North every year.
No Detroit?
No, not Detroit. Detroit, you got to be kidding me. Detroit? Matthew, I'm going to throw the ball to everyone else but my team. Detroit. Stafford with a defense that's like Swiss cheese in the secondary? Come on, give me a break.
No, Vikings, of course.
No, the Vikings are awful.
So it's down to the Bears and the Packers.
Well, I'm looking at the Bears.
How are they going to stop the Bears? How are the Packers going to stop the Bears?
Look at their defense.
Let's look at it. Go for it.
Lamar Houston's a nice player. Jared Allen's like 98 years old. Yeah. And Paya from Oregon State, Ratliff, who the Cowboys kicked out. They didn't want him. Williams at middle linebacker. McLennan. Who are these guys? You got Lance Briggs. He's 55 years old. I mean, you got a bunch of guys that have nice names, but are they going to be able to stop anybody? They couldn't stop anybody last year, and they got rid of Julius Peppers, who's now, by the way, is on the Green Bay Packers.
Well, maybe you got to fix the offense, too. They're going to outscore everybody, right?
You can't outscore consistently in this league.
Oh, whatever.
And until Jay Cutler does it consistently as the guy, you're crazy. Green Bay Packers are the team to beat.
I just got beat. On my first, this is my first one. This is my preseason rookie game, too.
JP, let me explain something to you.
I just got destroyed.
You used to call the Suns Double A baseball.
It's been a while, yes. It's been a long time.
You're the Double A's. This is the big leagues up here. You'll see. Listen,
I got a cup of coffee.
Let me know when another big league player is here to take me on a coffee fax, because you, my son, are no match. No match. It's not even close.
At least this week.
It was domination.
I'll come back stronger next time.
Bye.
I'll take this. I'll learn from it. I'll get better.
Tony Baselli.
That was the Copy Facts face-off.
Fight on.
And USC stinks.
Fight on.
We're going to beat you guys in 2 years.
2 years. Alabama will be on sanctions by then. I'm not worried about that.
Whatever. Anyway, you win. Okay, fair and square. That's a victory.
That was a beatdown.
Yeah.
Joe, that wasn't even a challenge.
It was like Butterbean running out of the corner and hammering the other guy.
Right, hang
That's
on.
What that was.
And JP, you can attest to that. I told JP before the show, I said, don't worry about anything. What happens is we just do the copy facts, and whatever happens, Tony just loses. It's how it goes. But I couldn't argue with anything that happened there.
It wasn't even close. I knew literally 10 seconds into his starting
it's over. Yeah.
Monologue.
Set me up is what you did.
Are you kidding me? This totally is all you have?
This. Totally set me up.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
Pete, come back. You're listening out there anywhere.
He's in Cincinnati.
Please come back and help your guy, JP, because right now he's bleeding profusely in the studio from the beating he just took.
It's just over. Wow. Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick defeated by Tony Baselli. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you want to help me out.
JP's looking for callers right now.
Please call, please. This Chicago Bears team, though, let's talk about this.
Let's talk about it.
Their offense is okay, right? It's a very good offense, even though you don't think so. But they are
going to
be a very productive offense this year.
They are a good offense. I do worry about their defense a little bit, in all seriousness. In the best defensive lineman, in my opinion, the guy is Lamar Houston. I loved him in Oakland last year. Big, physical, tough guy. And Jared Allen, listen, was a great player in his day, and he's just okay.
How old is he really? It's like 35. Right?
11 years he's been.
Oh, is
he
the same as Clemens?
Yeah, 11 years.
You're calling Clemens old then, too, if you call him old.
No, he's on my team. Jared had 11 and a half sacks, but he's a try-hard guy, and he's going to go hard. I've always said if you match his effort, and if Luke Jokel matches his effort, he'll be fine. So, listen, offensively, though, they got an all-star roster when you look at Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Two of the biggest receivers. Back-to-back weeks. This past week in Tampa Bay, you had Mike Evans, 6'5", 230, whatever, and who's the other? The guy from Northern Colorado, free agent. I came for Tampa. Anyways, I can't think of his name. Another 6'5". Same thing.
Yeah, big guys.
Same thing this week with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Two huge individuals. The offensive line's much better than it used to be. Mm-hmm. They still got to protect Jay Cutler. But the biggest issue with this Bears offense, in my opinion, outside, they got stars at every position. They're very good at every position. But is Jay Cutler going to be consistent enough? Is he going to? He has a propensity to throw it to the wrong guy at the wrong time.
Very true.
And that is the thing that's going to hurt them, I think, if he continues down that path. Now, if Trestman, their head coach, who's a very smart, good offensive coordinator, you saw improvement of that last year with Cutler. If he can continue on that path, then they're going to be a very tough team to beat because of their talent offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they were awful last year, and it'll be interesting to see if they can turn it around.
They can run the ball, right? Forte?
Yeah, Forte's a great back, and he's outstanding.
Is he a top five, top three back?
Oh, he's top five, and he's very good out of the backfield, too. He has great hands. He's dynamic. He's physical. You know, he's an all-around, every-down back, and but he's got to stay healthy. He's been beat up. You know, I don't think he's played 16 games the last couple of years. He plays the majority of the time, but he's a good player.
Sure. Chicago Bears coming up Thursday at 8 o'clock. We'll have coverage starting at 5 o'clock with the Publix tailgate show for 2 hours.
That's right.
And then a countdown to kickoff from 7 to 8.
8 o'clock kickoff, East Coast. 7 o'clock will be in the Central time zone. So a little bit later, which means it's a late flight home.
What time? We'll get back at like 4 in the morning probably?
What's it, like a 2-hour flight, Joe, from here to Chicago
direct? Yeah, that's about right.
So 2-hour flight, you figure a kickoff at 8. Game over at 11:15, 11:20. Get out of there. Yeah, we're not landing here in Jacksonville until 2:33 in the morning. I'm getting home. It might be one of those days you have to find a little breakfast on the way home. Start your day off early.
That would be you. You would be that guy.
Well, it will be morning.
It will be.
Well, that's one thing I'm going to work on this year. You know, one thing for everyone listening, it's very difficult to keep weight off during the season because the Jacksonville Jaguars do an outstanding job of making sure there is a copious amount of food on the plane.
I've got a food story, but go ahead.
There is more food on that plane. Not all healthy food. A lot of good candy bars, and my Achilles heel is the peanut M&Ms that are flowing just flowing. It's a beautiful thing, and so it's very difficult. Not to just gorge myself on the entire way home.
My first ever trip, I was here, quick story, 2012 was the first season here for me.
Yep.
I'd just come out of minor league baseball for 10 years.
Where they give you no food.
Riding the bus, you're stopping at McDonald's at 3 in the morning, and it's just bad food.
That's why you have that great, great figure you have.
Thank you. And so the first trip on a plane is 2012. We're going to New Orleans. Okay, so we get to the airport. There's Chick-fil-A right there. All right, great. Couple sandwiches. I'll eat them before the plane takes off. That's great.
Then you thought that's all you were getting.
Yeah, okay, this is great. I got the TV on the plane. This
stuff
is cool.
Your face.
Then the plane takes off. Oh, you want chicken or steak, sir? Oh, yeah, give me the steak. Why not? Steak day. All right, perfect filet. Then the ice cream comes down.
Yeah.
There's ice cream. There's peanut.
Peanut M&Ms are the ones that kill me.
And then we land in New Orleans about 5 o'clock.
And you eat dinner.
It's time to go to Emeralds. Hey, yeah. All right, dinner time. Okay, giddy up. I gained like 20 pounds on the first trip.
It is a beautiful thing, and there's a lot of food. So I am pledging this year. I make my monthly weight pledge, and it's that time of year to make my pledge that I'm not going to gain any weight.
I heard this last year. I do remember this.
Yeah, I'm on a.
If you want to throw a number out right now, where are you?
I've lost 15 pounds.
Put it on record.
I'm down.
I'm That's Tony talking right now. That's funny how that works.
Is that me eating? Did you get me eating at one of the restaurants this past year?
I think so.
I'm down 15. I'm at 310, and I got a goal of 285.
Good luck with that. That's good. I like that. That's a good goal.
I've had this goal now for 1 year, and I've gone backwards every
time.
That's
25 pounds away, right?
I'm on my way.
You're well on your way.
Absolutely, JP. I'm a disciplined individual when it comes to food.
You keep running those marathons, you'll be there in no time.
And the triathlons I do.
That's right. Jaguars Monday. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. The Jags and the Bears coming up. The Jags will head to Detroit after that. Speaking of the Lions, your boy Stafford, is game three of the preseason. And then the Atlanta Falcons come calling here at Everbank Field to wrap up the preseason.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Lions later. But yeah. Stafford, he is his number one aspect is fantasy football because he'll put up some numbers.
Yes, sir, he will. It sounds like Romo in Dallas, too.
I don't know how many wins they're going to get, but he'll put up some numbers.
Let's go to the phone lines now, 355-NFL1. John from Keystone Heights wants to talk offensive line. Hello, John. Good evening.
How you guys doing? Hey, Tony, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, John? How's beautiful Keystone Heights this fine evening?
Now, the water's coming up. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, our offensive line, and they're talking about, do we have the players on that line to make us a good line?
Yeah, I think so. It's a very young group, and so it's going to take some time for the unit to come together and to have synergy and being on the same page and trusting what they're doing and trusting the guy next to them. But
synergy.
It's a big word. Talent-wise, I do think they do it. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you, John. My concern is the center, and they got to get better there. I think there are guys that can do that on this roster, but it's going to take some time, and they're going to have to go out and prove it.
Synergy. So thesaurus in here tonight? That's big.
I'm with USC, the Harvard of the West.
Okay, great. Jaguars Monday rolls along, 355-NFL1. One more segment for calls. We'll take our final timeout. We'll, again, preview that Chicago game coming up Thursday. Get some final thoughts from Tony. Preview next week as well. Remember, no Jaguars Thursday this week because of the ball game. We'll be back next week with that. More Jaguars Monday. We'll wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final segment of Jaguars Monday. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Last chance to get your calls in at JP Shadrick, at Tony Baselli as well. Jaguars' final public practice of training camp is tomorrow, 9:55 a.m. And the Jags' final on-field full-speed preparation for the Chicago Bears. Jaguars.com/RSVP if you want to register for tomorrow's practice. Last chance to see the Jags practice this whole camp. It's been good, well attended, most of this camp.
It's been outstanding attendance, and I give the Jaguars organization credit for opening that many practices and the fans for coming out. It was a great atmosphere. It was outstanding from the start, and I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the players did a great job of signing autographs, interacting with the fans, and it was a good start to the season, and I like the way they did it.
And there's not many teams, I think, now that open that many. I think 13 were open to the public, and I'm not sure if there's another team in the league that had exactly that many open to the public. So good for the Jags fans here. Hey, let's go to the phone line, Tony.
Let's do it.
One last time tonight. Paul in Arlington has some questions about Mike Brewster. Paul, what's up?
Hey, Tony. I was watching Brewster on the line on one clip, and, you know, he sits down low, but then when he looks up. He looks up at the eyes of the person he's going up against, and that seems to set him back in his heels a bit. Is that good technique, or is his eye line supposed to be at the center of gravity of the other person, like right across from Brewster's eyes, like the belly of the other guy? I had a question how that could affect, you know, how he holds his position.
Well, I don't know how much that has to do with it. I mean, everyone has their eyesight at different places, their aiming point. I mean, I always like to try to at the center, looking at the entire body, and then as, if it's a pass play, you're looking at the player's midline for an aiming point. I can't – on the run game, I was always looking at the, my aiming point where I was going. If it's a reach, I'm looking at his outside number or armpit to get my hands and head in the proper position. So I'm not sure how much it has to do with his power. I think it's something he has struggled with, is just being a powerful player. And listen, he's not the only center who there's a number of centers in this league that use finesse more than power.
Yeah, I mean, that's a position that's a little smaller anyway.
Yeah,
right?
You can be. Now, there's some big, powerful centers, and there's some guys who are finesse. And you got, but if you're going to be a finesse player, you have to have great feet and great position and use good leverage if you want to be effective. And that's something that Mike needs to work on.
And, you know, Brad Meester wasn't the biggest guy either, right?
No, but he had more power.
He
had more power, and he had good leverage, and he was a crafty player and knew how to use his hands and his feet and leverage and use the guy's weight against themselves to get them to go where he wanted them to. So it's just something that he's going to have to work on.
Who is the best center in the league right now? Mac?
Boy, Mac's one of them. I think the Pouncey guy, those Pouncey twins are really, really good when they're healthy, man. They are. They're athletic. They're powerful. They really do a good job. I like both those. I think the center at Seattle, and his name's the kid from – he's an Oregon kid, is a very good player. No, I'm the Cal kid. No, Max Cal. One of them. Anyways, I can't remember the guys where he's from, but he's – and I can't think of his name. I'm embarrassed to say, but he's a very good player as well. So there's a number of good, solid centers in this league.
Got to have one. Got to have one, right?
It helps Khalil at the Carolina Panthers, whose brother Matt Khalil is the left tackle. Khalil out of USC is an outstanding center. No, but he's a Pro Bowl guy, all pro guy. What do you want me to say? He's an outstanding. He's an outstanding player.
I know it's a factory. I get it. Nice job, USC.
Shut up,
Tony Boselli, JP Shadrick. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. 355-NFL1, 355-635 on. A few minutes to get your calls in. Okay. From game one to game two, Tony, the most improvement you want to see. What do you want to see? What's the biggest thing on your priority list this week for this Jags team?
I want to see the first offense play better.
Move the ball. What does that mean? Move the ball?
Consistently,
score?
No, consistently move the ball. Put some nice drives together and finish it with a score. Get the ball in the end zone. But you got to see consistency, and I think that will start with being able to run the ball and getting in good down and distances. That is the most important thing I want to see come Friday night or Thursday night in Chicago. And then there's other things. Obviously, Blake Bortles is still the biggest story. You want to see him. And as well as see the defensive line to build and the defense in general to build on what they did and show the consistency to continue to be the strength of this team.
Sounds like Toby Gerhardt could get practice time tomorrow. Not sure if we'll get a status for the game tomorrow, but if Gerhardt goes, you want to see how long would you prefer to see him go if he goes?
Five
snaps?
Yeah, not much. I wouldn't play him.
At all?
No, I wouldn't play him at all if he hasn't practiced at this point. I think they're going to track him on the field tomorrow.
Yeah, that's correct.
I still wouldn't play him. What's the hurry? I mean, I'd wait till week three.
You know what you're going to get from him, right?
Well, you still want to see it because he has. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the workhorse, so you want to see it. But that means also he's going to get a bunch of carries this year, so you don't want to give him too many in the preseason. And he's coming off. He's dinged up. He's coming off a minor injury, nothing major. So why push it? Why rush it? Make sure he's 100%. And I would not play him this week. I'd play him in the third preseason game.
You know, I just thought about this. He's probably used to getting preseason snaps because being behind Adrian
Peterson's not going to take any.
That's right.
If I was in Minnesota, I wouldn't let Adrian Peterson even see his shoulder pads until
he's sitting in a suite in the preseason.
Yeah, until
right?
about the week before the regular season. Because let's go. We're going to ride you for the rest of the year. He's a workhorse.
The ones go a little deeper, you think?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see them probably the first half.
Whole half.
Yeah, okay. I think the first half or at least very late into the second quarter. I'd like to see him in the first half, so if you get a two-minute situation, let them have a two-minute drive and then play the twos for the most of the second half and the rest of them kind of sprinkle guys in as you see fit.
And then the third preseason game, normally the starters go three quarters or close to that.
Two and a half quarters. Yeah. You know, you get them the first full half, then you want them to come out of the halftime, be used to coming out for a second half and starting the second half, and you play them. you know, a couple series in the second, third quarter, and then you get him out of there for the good evaluation for the rest of the young guys.
Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Final few minutes on our debut edition of Jaguars Monday. Defensively, it's going to be a challenge this week. You know, last week the offensive line, as we mentioned for Tampa, the guards had some issues there. They've already pulled one of the starting guards and moved him to a lower.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. I mean,
but this is a challenge this week for this unit.
It is a big challenge. It's a big challenge. It's just a better unit overall. And
which is what you want this time,
yeah,
of year, right?
Absolutely. Step up the competition. I'll be looking forward to seeing Cindric Marks go against Kyle Long. Kyle Long had a good rookie year. Second, obviously the son of Howie Long, mm-hmm. brother of Chris Long, defensive end for the St. Louis Rams. Second year player out of Oregon. He's 6'6", 313, 315. I think he's even bigger than that. Big, long, massive human being. And I think it's going to be a great matchup. I look forward. I think Cindric Marks is going to give him some trouble because of his speed and the athletic ability and the way he can move. But it'll be a good test because don't let the big man get his mitts on you. It's going to be tough. So, overall, I really like the matchup. And then outside, looking forward to wait and see Alan Ball's status. Demetrius McCray started because Alan Ball was not ready, but yep. He's back. You know, he's playing. He's practicing.
Yeah, he was limited today, but yes, yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, he's out there. Mm-hmm. But looking forward to Grazi and whether it's McCray or Alan Ball out there matching up against those two good wide receivers with Blackman at the slot. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how they do. And can you get pressure on Cutler, force him into some mistakes?
Yeah.
How do we match up outside? You know, we played a lot of single high safety against the Buccaneers, meaning those guys are all by themselves out there and against two good receivers, but these guys are better. They're even playing better receivers this week.
McCray can hold his own, though, right?
Yeah, I like McCray.
Think so?
He's a guy, you know, I think Alan Ball is the starter when it comes to.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
But
yeah,
McCray is a very nice young player and
continues
to get better. And he's long and he can run, very fluid. So, yeah, you like him.
Seventh round guy a year ago.
The fact that you find a guy like that in the seventh round is, listen, that's great work by the by Dave Caldwell and all the scouts that scour the nation of college football to find guys that can play. You know, everyone always focuses on the first and second round, third round, top of the draft, but really, you look at your 53-man roster, you better hit on some fifth, sixth, seventh rounders. You better find some guys who can play football at that spot, because those are going to make up your roster and they're going to be important pieces, cogs in the machine.
Wow.
You're
digging deep.
That are going to be critical if you want to have a championship football team.
Digging deep on cliches tonight, Tony.
That's how I go. That's how I roll.
A couple minutes left on Jaguars Monday. You know, after this game, you're going into week three, and that's when the cuts start happening, right? After the week three game, they cut it down to 75, and then
53.
After week four, it's 53. So next week we'll talk about, I don't know if we don't want to talk about possible cuts, but there'll be some positions.
You like cutting people. That's one thing, JP.
Just whack them.
You love just getting cutting them right off at the knees and saying scram.
See ya.
No, I take the other route as an ex-player. I don't like that. I mean, I feel bad for these guys.
No, and it makes sense. It's a living.
You're ruthless.
Hey, I'm a GM, man. That's what we do here.
You're a cold stone killer, JP.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Except in the face-off. I was not.
No, you were embarrassing. Seriously.
It was an embarrassing start. You know what?
I was
okay.
You,
I can admit that's the first step.
If I was you, I would have a hard time.
I'm going to study the tape.
I'd have a hard time sleeping tonight.
That's okay. I will.
I'll say this, and this is our second year doing this show. And, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've ever seen that kind of beatdown in the copy facts.
Yeah, you get beat like that every week, Tony.
Well, you'll learn, JP. You will learn. It's not even true. I win.
Hey, you finally won a game.
No,
congratulations.
I win every week, but Pete and Joe conspire because there's nothing that pains Joe more than giving me credit.
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
We'll see what happens next week. Tony,
I look forward to it.
Hey, enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Dan Edwards, Senior VP of Communications for the Jags. Joe Fortunato, Jaguars Manager of Radio. Steve Griffin, GM at 1010XL. Our thanks to Pete Prisco, Paul Pozlesny, and for Tony Boselli, this is JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.